Welcome back, everyone, to the Deep Dive.
Great to be here.
So this is actually our 28th Deep Dive, looking at good things, Guy.
That's right. South Africa's biggest good news website. Really impressive reach.
It really is. I mean, over 100 articles every single week. That's a lot of positivity.
Yeah, and they reach millions, not just in NSA, but, you know, globally, too.
Absolutely. So our mission for you today, as always, is to dig into the top five most read stories from Good Things Guy this past week. Sort of a curated snapshot of what's resonating.
Sounds good. Always interesting to see what captures people's attention.
Definitely. So where are we starting? What's story number one?
Okay, first up, we're looking at pangolins. There's actually a couple of potentially positive developments happening almost at the same time.
Pangolins.
Right.
The most trafficked mammals, sadly. What are the developments?
Well, first, there's a significant policy shift in China. They've removed something called Gilingji from their official 2025 pharmacopoeia that took effect back in March.
Gilingji. Okay, that sounds familiar. Traditional medicine, and it used pangolin parts.
Correct. Pangolin scales, specifically.
Yeah.
Now, this removal isn't like a total outright ban on using pangolin scales in all traditional medicine contexts, but taking it out of the pharmacopoeia that's the official government-sanctioned list of medicines, that's a pretty big deal.
How so? What does that practically mean?
It means it's much harder for doctors to officially prescribe it or promote it. It sort of delegitimizes its use within the formal medical system.
Mm-hmm.
Gilingji itself has this controversial history.
Right.
Ingredients like red ginseng, deer antler, seahorse, and pangolin. It was even a national secret prescription back in the 50s.
Wow. So removing it now signals a move towards more ethical medicine.
Yeah, ethical and sustainable sources.
Mm-hmm.
Plant-based alternatives are definitely being favored more.
Mm-hmm.
It also maybe reflects some international pressure, you know, on biodiversity.
Interesting. Okay, so that's one major development. What's the other piece?
The other thing happening is that a South African-linked documentary, Kulu, The Pangolin's Journey, has been doing really well on Netflix, climbing the global top 10 chart.
Oh, fantastic. I saw that pop up. It's about a rescue, isn't it?
Exactly. Follows a rescued pangolin's rehabilitation, its journey back into the wild. People are calling it breathtaking, heart-wrenching.
Yeah.
But also hopeful. Unforgettable, apparently.
Right. And the fact it's reaching such a huge global audience on Netflix, that's massive for awareness, right?
Absolutely. Because let's face it, many people still don't know much about pangolins, why they're so endangered.
Yeah. Remind us quickly, why are they the most trafficked?
It's mainly for their scales.
Yeah.
There's this mistaken belief they have healing properties. And also their meat is considered a delicacy in some parts of Asia. Just devastating demand.
So the hope here is that these two things, the policy change in China, the documentary success, might kind of work together, create some momentum.
That's exactly the hope. After years of conservationists, you know, sometimes feeling like they're shouting into the void, these two events could be a catalyst, amplifying each other.
It feels like slow progress, maybe, but really meaningful. Hard won.
Definitely. It shows empathy and understanding can eventually lead to change.
Okay. That's a hopeful note to start on. Let's shift gears now from global conservation to the power of nature right here in South Africa.
Yes. Story number two takes us to Agrabes Falls National Park. It seems the recent widespread rains have had a, well, dramatic effect.
Ah, the Orange River must be pumping. What are the water levels like?
Pumping is an understatement. The flow rate hit, get this, 3,991 cubic meters per second.
3,991. What's normal there?
Normal is usually somewhere between, say, 30 and 50 cubic meters per second.
Maybe. Whoa. Okay. That is a staggering difference. It must be incredible to see and hear.
Absolutely. Sandparks has described it as a spectacular and thunderous display. They've had to close some areas for safety, like the game viewing area and picnic spot.
Understandable. But people can still see it.
Oh, yes. Three of the main viewing decks are still open. And they expect these high levels to last for several weeks.
Right. So if you're in the Northern Cape or heading that way soon, well, sounds like a must-see.
Definitely a chance to witness some serious natural power.
Okay. From natural wonders to achievement in a different field. Our third story is about South African coffee making waves internationally.
Yeah, this is great news for the local scene. Two South African coffee shops have been named in the World 100 Best Coffee Shops list for 2025.
Fantastic. Which ones are they and how did they rank?
Espresso Lab in Cape Town did incredibly well, coming in at number 11.
Number 11 globally. That's huge.
It really is. And the Whippet in Johannesburg also made the list at number 89.
Brilliant for both. How do they even decide these rankings? Is it public vote? Experts?
It's a mix. About 30% comes from public votes, and the other 70% is based on input from coffee experts. Toby's Estate in Sydney got the top spot this year, but, you know, 11th and 89th is seriously impressive.
Let's talk about Espresso Lab first. Number 11. What's their secret? What are they known for?
Well, they're in the old biscuit mill in Woodstock, Cape Town. The vibe is very sleek, minimalist, almost like a science lab. That's the name, I guess.
Okay.
It attracts people who are really serious about coffee. They focus heavily on the craft, sourcing sustainable single-origin beans, mainly Africa and South America, and doing small batch roasting right there.
So real attention to detail.
Totally. The baristas are described as artists. It's about flavor, balance, understanding the origin of the bean, a masterclass, basically.
Sounds intense in a good way. What about the Whippet in Joburg?
Yeah.
Different feel.
Yeah, the Whippet in Linden is more of a like established community hub, a real local favorite. People know the regulars by name. It's actually in the building that used to be the old Linden Hotel, so it has history.
Nice. And the coffee.
They have their own signature. Linden blend Costa Rican and Malawian beans, roasted locally. It's known as a friendly place, great coffee, often paired with their food, like buttermilk chicken Benedict or, you know, classic milk tart. Champions local produce, too.
So one is maybe more high concept craft, the other more community focused, but both excellent.
Exactly. And this kind of recognition, it's more than just, you know, bragging rights.
Right. What's the bigger impact?
It shines a light on South African entrepreneurs, the baristas. It really cements SA's place on the global coffee map. Could attract tourists, boosts local producers, fuels the whole cafe culture.
Yeah, definitely. Makes you want to visit both. Okay, next story. We're moving into the world of social media and global connections.
Yes, this one involves a South African dancer and content creator, Kelly Kicks. She's got a huge following on TikTok, over 1.1 million.
Wow, 1.1 million. That's massive reach. What happened?
Well, the international pop star Selena Gomez shared one of Kelly's TikTok videos.
The Selena Gomez shared it with her followers.
Yep. Selena Gomez has nearly 60 million followers on TikTok. She reshared Kelly's 18-second dance video.
Incredible. What was Kelly dancing to?
It was Gomez's new song, Bluest Flame. It's from a collaborative album she did with Benny Blanco that came out in March.
So for Selena Gomez to pick that video and share it, that's a huge endorsement.
Massive. It's huge recognition for Kelly's talent, her energy, shows it resonates globally. Kelly even followed up with another cool video set in Cape Town.
That's amazing. Really shows how talent from anywhere like South Africa can find a global stage now. Inspiring for other creators too, I bet.
Definitely. The power of the platform.
All right, on to our final story for this deep dive. We're heading back to wildlife conservation, but this time with some really heartwarming news.
Yes, this is lovely. It's about the birth of cheetah cubs at the Hoedspruit Endangered Species Center, or HESC.
Oh, fantastic. How many?
Four healthy cubs, born to a cheetah named Tammy right at the end of April.
Four? That's wonderful. And I heard this was actually captured live on camera.
It was. They streamed the birth live. Which is, you know, pretty special to witness.
Absolutely. And while cheetah cubs are undeniably cute, there's a serious side to this too, isn't there? Cheetah conservation is critical.
It really is. We're talking fewer than 7,500 cheetahs left in the wild. Mm. That number is stark.
So the work HESC does is vital.
Incredibly important. Rescue, care, breeding programs for endangered animals. Mm. Their cheetah program is particularly significant. Every successful birth like this is a win for the species.
And the fact that people could watch the live stream, does that help engagement?
I think so. It offers a way for people to connect directly, learn about the animals, understand the challenges, maybe feel more invested in conservation.
Yeah, seeing new life like that, well, it fosters a connection, a sense of care.
Exactly. It makes it real.
What a wonderful story to end on. So let's just recap quickly. We've covered potential breakthroughs for pangolins, the sheer force of nature at Augerby's,
the global recognition for South African coffee, a local dancer getting a huge shout out from a pop star.
And ending with the hope symbolized by those new cheetah cubs. It's quite a range, just from 1 week's top stories on Good Things Guy.
It really demonstrates that, you know, despite everything else going on, there's so much positive stuff happening. You just need to know where to look for it. Good Things Guide certainly provides that.
It absolutely does. And it makes you think, doesn't it, how all these different kinds of good news, policy change far away, a natural spectacle, business success, artistic talent shining, new life, how they all sort of weave together.
A picture of people striving, of beauty, of connection.
Exactly. Which leaves us with a thought, maybe. What other positive stories are unfolding around us right now that perhaps we just haven't noticed yet? Something to ponder.